Hi, Sim.
Hi, Anna. Guess who's back?
Alice and Janney. I wish that she could, like, pop out from behind, you know, that chair or something. Guess who's back? I don't know who. Who's back?
Surprise!
Allison!
Anna!
Thanks
Sim.
For being here.
Hey, no worries. No problem. I'm happy to be here.
Since we're recording this in advance, and Allison, thank you so much for doing this with
us. Of course.
I really appreciate it. But since we're recording this in advance, we don't have feedback from last week's episode with Adam Rippon, but we do have feedback on you.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to read this.
No.
Okay, this is feedback for Anna. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Dear Anna and Sim, I discovered your podcast earlier this year and have really enjoyed catching up with all the old shows. And I'm listening to the new ones as well. I was listening to the Gerard Carmichael one this morning on my way to commute and cracking up on how he hates Dasani. Fuck Dasani. Anyway, Anna said something at the beginning of the podcast that made me want to write in and strongly disagree with her.
Uh-oh.
She said, I am not funny. And she said this before. But this time I felt compelled to write into you guys and tell Anna that I think she is so fucking funny. I laugh out loud in my car every day at the things that she says. The ragging on Sim, the witty comebacks, and her improv with Karen and Kayla. You're a comedy genius in my book, Anna.
Oh my God.
Thank you for the gift of laughter that you've given me during good times, tough times, and the mundane day-to-day. I hated the thought that someone who makes me laugh so much and provides me with so much entertainment maybe doesn't see that in themselves. So I guess I just wanted to write in and say that you're hilarious, I love the podcast, and that I really love you and admire you a lot. Thank you, Anna and Sim, for bringing light and laughter and some not-so-qualified advice into this world. Love, Mary.
Mary.
Here, here, Mary.
Thank you. That made my day. Thank you so much.
I thought that was really sweet.
That was really thank you.
And we seriously have the best listeners.
For reading that. And Mary, I don't know if you feel like moving to Los Angeles and living with me and petting my ego every day. I would just love that. But truly, comedy is it's a vulnerable state. And I feel like I crack myself up, but then I get embarrassed that I do that. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Mary. I love you.
That was really sweet.
Okay, here I am. Let's get started. Okay.
Nice.
I'm getting started.
How do we sell like a honey bucket company? Or anyway, whatever. Okay. Did we do it?
Yeah, we already did it. Let's get to
Shut the fuck up.
And now let's get to the show. This is Constance Zimmer.
Guys, everybody thinks I'm so together. I'm really not. Isn't this fun?
That is so true. Because everyone thinks that I like have fucking nothing together, which is true. It's very accurate.
I don't know if I would say that about you. I think people that don't know you would say that. But then I think people that know you are like, she's juggling a lot of shit and kind of
it's
getting
like,
by.
No. I'm telling you, the blonde hair like works miracles.
Right.
People underestimate me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then if I do something that's slightly like functional,
yeah,
they're surprised.
True.
And true.
I mean, it's true. I mean, I think of the blonde thing, not of you, but of the blonde thing.
Well, I was thinking about that actually before you came over here, because when I briefly had dark hair, I went out for very different roles. I went out for fewer roles, but they were more serious. And people just in general, they weren't as friendly to me, but they treated me as though I had a little bit of intelligence, just like daily interactions a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went back to blondes, like people just treat you a little bit differently.
Yeah, I would like to know what that's like. Like, I don't like always having to pretend that I have my shit together even when I don't. But I think I actually blame the characters I play more than just me as a person walking down the street. But because I've played the characters that always are strong and have their shit together and don't give a crap what anybody has to say about them, people just assume that's who I am and that's what I'm like when I'm the absolute opposite.
Well, yes, but I do think, you have the intelligence like radiates from your eyeballs. And
what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, right?
You're looking at me. You're looking at me with an intimidating look right now.
No, I'm Maybe not. I'm just actually looking that. At you. You know, there's a lot of people that don't look people in the eyes. You know this whole thing.
Okay, I'm going to try this too.
And when you actually look people in the eyes, some people get incredibly intimidated because it feels like it's, I'm gazing into you. I'm stronger than you. I'm whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's like everybody, when you talk to somebody, you should always look somebody in the eye. Always.
No, that's fucked up. It's animal. I feel like you're gonna like take a bite out of my shoulder right now.
But you know me, and you know that I'm not, and I wouldn't. And
I don't know.
Hair, though.
I don't know.
It's the bangs.
We went on a group vacation. You were right next door to me, neighboring room.
And you felt
room.
Protected. Did you feel protected?
No, I felt like a sleek little panther was going to sneak into my room and chomp me on the shoulder.
But see, again, it was the hair, though. Panthers, like a black panther?
Yeah, you. Yeah,
dark hair.
Have you ever changed your hair color?
Yes, I have. It was supposed to be red. It was orange it ended up orange, but it was supposed to be red. It wasn't a good thing. And then I also wore like a blonde wig.
And how was that? Not
good, because I still have the really dark eyebrows, which I know is kind of like a thing.
People do that. Fucking sexy with a little blonde or like a pink, like a little bob. I mean, you're fucking sexy with your.
You're calling me intelligent and sexy. Why have I not been here before?
I have a little black bob that I'll put on sometimes, a little wig.
That'd be cute. Well, that's like Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Wait, do you do it for sex?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like now I'm the smarter prostitute.
But isn't that funny? Like how, I mean, brown hair, just you're smart and blonde, you're not?
Yeah.
Do we think that's true? Do we know a blonde person that's super smart?
My wife right there.
There
you
go. I'm
just going to call her out. Yeah.
Boom. Husband of the year. There you go.
Amy is a federal prosecutor, and she's about to have a baby, and she's very, very smart. But I like, can I bring it back to me, Constance?
Oh, sure. I'm so sorry.
You just said, do we know a blonde person that's smart as you're looking at me?
Well,
and it's cool. I'm letting it slide. It's fine.
Well, I thought we were outside the conversation. Yeah, I wasn't saying I was smart either.
Listen, we can't be.
Oh my god, stop it. But anyways,
Constance, did you have fun doing the show Mom with me?
Yes. Whoa. I was just trying to be dramatic. And it worked. Well, of course I did. I mean, it was ridiculous. I'm like sitting by my phone for them to call me again. I'm like, oh, I must have not been as good as they told me I was.
Oh, see? I loved acting with you because, well, not only are you so fucking good, you just made me really happy.
Because I looked you in the eyes all the time.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. But I told you you were worth it.
You did.
You're worth it, Anna. Really had nothing to do with my acting. No, it was the best. I mean, I think too, because you and I have like a tiny bit of back history of knowing each other before doing the show. It was like as if I had just seen you like 6 months ago when it had been like 6 years almost.
I think there's nothing that sort of bonds people or unbonds people like a group vacation. Maybe.
Yeah. Wait, you were telling me about this. This is like a star-studded vacation, right? We're talking Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams. I mean, this is an A-list vacation.
We all went on a vacation together to this beautiful house that our dear friend, the most amazing jeweler, whose jewelry I can't really afford, Irene Newworth, and I love you, Irene. I don't know if you would ever listen. Anyway, but...
I can't afford her jewelry.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Discount, Irene. Discount. We haven't been picked up for season 7. But she arranged this vacation and brought together a group of friends. And I think that was the first time I met you, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Have you gone on a lot of group vacations?
Not a lot. I mean, not that big of a group. That was a big group.
12 couples. 12 yeah. couples? Would that be yeah. accurate?
And I've never with that many people. And people who had kids and people who didn't have kids.
Yeah.
I think the only other time I've done it, we all were old friends. Like, whereas I think this group was some people had never met each other.
Like
other
me,
people.
I was totally an outsider.
Yeah, but you knew Busy.
Yeah.
That was your friend in.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody had a friend in.
Yeah.
So it felt like it was all kind of a common circle.
Yeah.
Until.
Until what? Until what?
Until margaritas were consumed and sort of between closer friends, there was sort of a divisive moment and it felt a little bit like the group was split and, but it was an amazing trip. It was just, I wanted to sort of heal things, but I was an outsider. Yeah, so I could.
I can just picture you trying to be the. Be
I'm
the
like,
one
let's
that's...
do a song and dance number tonight.
I think everybody was trying to do something to help somebody else, like in general, right?
Listen, children, to a story.
Didn't we do a night of like karaoke? Not karaoke. What was that? We did a game, something. What was that game that we played?
I bet I was miserable.
No.
I'm really bad at games.
I'm not good at them either. I feel like it was charades and it was...
Oh, and I bet I was just sweating.
Trying to bring the group together.
I was like
together.
Margarita sweating. It was just
Margarita
like coming
sweating. It was fun
pores.
Though. Like, I think in hindsight, like one of the best...
Stroke of genius though was the room assignment. The pre-room assignment.
Wait, you're all in one house.
Yeah,
it was huge. So it was like a big villa.
It was incredible. Like everywhere you look, there was some beautiful piece of art.
And it was like a courtyard situation. So like the rooms were kind of set up, you know, like that with a big courtyard in the middle. And
I'm sure there were some rooms that were better than others. Who got the best rooms? How was that decided?
Well,
like,
Irene,
was there a hierarchy?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay.
That was a stroke of genius. I got a lower room.
So did I. I did too.
Yeah, well, we were right next to each other.
That's right. Maybe that's why we bonded. We were like, oh, we're in this section. But look, I've booked houses before for maybe like 6 or 8, you know, couples. And I always take the best room because I'm the one that planned it. And I'm probably paying more money than everybody else. And so I think that's fair. But you do get into a little bit of a thing if there's rooms that are super less than the others. That's where I get nervous. I try and just get rooms that are all the same.
If I never had to write another thank you note for the rest of my life, I would always take the shit room. Like if that could be like a guarantee, I know there's not necessarily a correlation between the two thoughts, but man, I would always take the shit room and any kind of vacation if I never had to write a fucking thank you note again.
I love that you write thank you notes.
I don't.
Oh.
I just feel guilty about not writing them.
No, because I write thank you notes.
If the guilt was removed.
No, but I think it's a thing. It shouldn't be out of guilt, right? That's where I think maybe if you remove that and it just out of the pure, like, the, or you're just never grateful for anything.
Right.
See, I'm screwed because no matter what, even if I'm not thankful or grateful for anything that I was given, I have to write a thank you note now because I do it for everything. I still handwrite all my thank you notes.
Oh my God.
For everything and anything.
I cannot
anything.
Wait for your thank you note
for this.
For coming on the podcast and for mom. And I don't know. I bet I could come up with a few more things.
But it is because now people are like, oh, I didn't get a thank you note.
Look at that water that I just gave you.
I haven't touched it. If you haven't noticed, haven't opened it. So unless I put my lips on it, not gonna
oh, no thank
you for
you.
It.
No thank you note unless you put your lips on
mm-hmm.
it.
That's right. I mean, it's a dating podcast. Why not start there? That's right. No right. thank you note right. unless you put your lips on it.
Okay. Well, speaking of that,
I'm nervous. This
a
is I'm
of things.
Not gonna lie. Nervous about this.
Okay. Wait. Do we want to start with? No. We should go. Let's
yeah,
get into
jump
deal
right
breakers.
Into it, yeah.
Okay. So you have really? To imagine that you're single.
I know.
Okay.
Done.
On the first date, he orders a Cosmopolitan.
Deal breaker.
Why?
I don't know. Guys who drink sugary girl drinks, I feel like.
Does that eliminate everything? Like margaritas?
Margaritas are not a girl drink. Cosmopolitan is see, with the up. You said sugary. Up in the martini.
You're like sugar, okay, you're equating with femininity.
True. So maybe I should say a pink colored
drink.
Drink.
Okay.
But also because Cosmos are super specific about being served up in a martini glass, very hard to drink. Can't walk around with it.
So you guys aren't walking around.
We're not walking around. We're just sitting. We're at the bar. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would judge. I would already judge.
Would you ask?
I'd say, is that your regular drink? And then if he said yes, then I'd be like, okay.
But what if he says, yeah, I know that it's sort of not common for a dude like me to order Cosmos, but I just love the way they taste.
I'd say, oh, you're so cute.
And then bye.
But bye. I don't know. It's hard because that makes me super judgmental, which, you know, I feel like we all are judgmental in some way or other. That we
only judgmental people think that.
No, because I bet you he's probably an amazing guy, incredible boyfriend. Here's the thing. I will give you this. Okay, let me go back and say that I could never judge someone just by one drink or two or three. I would have to have talked to them long enough to see if that was a representation of their personality.
Okay. Yep. That's very good. I mean, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. If he was like funny or he said you have to try these because they squeeze the grapefruit. They get these ruby red grapefruits from Florida and they're so good.
Well, you know, there's a great skit called Girl Drink Drunk.
No.
From Kids in the Hall.
No.
And it's about this character that drinks only girl drinks and gets super drunk and is called Girl Drink Drunk. So it makes me laugh. Every time I think of a guy with girls drinks, I just automatically go to a wasted Kids in the Hall skit.
Wait, what's worse though? What's worse? If a guy orders a skinny margarita or a regular margarita? Even though the skinny margarita, it has less sugar, and the regular margarita would arguably be more of a girl's drink because it's sweeter.
I have no problem with a skinny margarita because skinny margaritas are mostly for, not always about like, ooh, I'll get fat if I drink this. But skinny margaritas tend to not have agave and they don't have all that sweet stuff in them. So you're just, that's somebody that actually still likes the taste of the alcohol or the drink.
But he says, you know, I'll have a skinny margarita. That's fine?
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. He asked you if you do Kegels.
On a first date?
This is your second date.
Second date. Where does he ask me this? Where am I?
You're at a tapas restaurant.
Topless? Because if we're at a topless restaurant, then I am not surprised he's asking me if I do Kegels. Because we're at a topless restaurant, which I've agreed to go to.
Do you do Kegels?
Are you now asking me that?
Yeah, I'm now asking you.
Oh, do I? Sometimes.
Yeah, I do too. We do a Kegel break on set at Mom here.
No, you don't.
Yes, we do.
You didn't do it when I was here.
Well, the funny thing is, you can't talk while you're doing Kegels.
Oh.
So sometimes if like all the ladies are talking and everything and we're in a scene together and we're not like moving forward with rehearsal, I'm like, Kegel break. And it gets everyone focused because
you can't talk?
It is hard to talk. Try doing Kegels and talking right now.
Well, I mean,
I'm doing them and it's hard. It's like the patty.
You're blinking
head.
A lot. You're blinking a lot.
Revving stomach scenario.
That's right.
Okay.
Oh, so is that a deal breaker? That's not a deal breaker.
Not a deal breaker. Okay. No. All right. Fair enough. After the third date, he offers to regrout your bathroom tiles.
Amazing. Yes, please, and thank you.
Would you feel any hint of insult that maybe your grout was clean? Nope.
Doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. You want to redo my grout? You do it. You do it, and you do it naked.
Grout that shit, bitch. Okay, on the third date, you are once again at a tapas restaurant, and he says, I would love to lick your anus.
While we're eating?
He just asked for the check.
Okay. I mean, I can't say that's a deal breaker because that just feels like a guy trying to be like nasty. The question is, would he really do it?
Oh, yeah, girl.
You see what I mean?
Okay, all right. So right? Let's say, so you say, okay, right? Yeah,
sure. I'd be like, okay.
All right, so let's go back to your place. And things are getting, you know, heated. And he takes down your pants and then just goes straight for it.
I mean,
cool.
Yeah, fine. I don't know.
I love that.
I don't
That's
know.
Hot.
I just feel like.
It's so hot. Constance.
I'm not the one doing
You're
it.
Fucking game. I
no,
love
but,
it.
Well, because I'm not the one doing it. Now, no. It would be different if he said, will you lick my anus? I would probably say, no.
Okay. So after your anus has been licked, he says, I would like for you to reciprocate the gesture.
And I'd say, not part of the deal. You only asked for one side. And that would be, I think that, I mean.
You had a lot of yum on that night.
I also think, I mean, this is going to be a very blanket statement. A very blanket statement. I think women are cleaner than men in that region.
Sim is nodding, but Sim, you take like 8 showers a day.
I'm very clean. I'm a clean man.
I know.
So is my husband, but I don't think that I would do that to anybody.
Do what?
Lick their anus.
Just because?
I don't know. I think about when I see dogs and cats do it to themselves, I'm like,
It is
interesting.
I love the idea of being all kinds of experimental. I love that. I was about to say I love that shit, but
that would be a weird place to put that.
Yeah, it sure would. but no, I do think that there's a couple moves where it's like, you know, yep, like there's a couple mental hinges that
correct
that like linger in your brain during the act of something that is like, well, I've done this before. I'm hinging on it. I'm going to go for it. But maybe, you know, it's like skydiving. You know, it's like you do it over and over again.
Or you never do it once.
Or you never do it once. And then you don't know what it's like to free fall.
True. I mean, I've heard it's spectacular, but I don't need to do it.
I don't know. Tom Petty liked it. I like it. I mean,
how many times have you done it?
No, I haven't done licked
no,
ass.
Not,
or?
No. Now we're back to the skydiving. I think I'm like, I think it's very clear which conversation you want to stay with. Skydiving. Have you ever skydived?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me neither.
No. But I wouldn't mind. I know Sim wants to at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I think when you have a kid, you won't.
No, I want to.
Can I ask you, though? You are not like any kind of daredevil, Sim.
Well, I've also been off the highest bungee in the world. I like doing things where I know where I'll... Yeah, in Interlaken, Switzerland.
Okay, no, so this is exactly what I don't care for.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
What do you mean?
Like, to me...
It sounds like I'm bragging that I bungee jumped.
I am not suited for a person who is a marathon runner or Everest climber.
No.
Because I don't... I'm just personally not suited for somebody who... does something for the purpose of talking about the glory of
it. That's what I that's why I would do
I know
it.
I know
yeah
I know
only reason for exactly. The pictures
yeah
but
yeah.
You have to talk about the glory of doing it, otherwise
why would
you
do
it?
Exactly I'm not going to talk about it. Of course I'm going to talk about it. Everyone on Instagram is going to see me do it.
No, that's that's what I'm saying is like, why work so hard simply so you could like tell somebody to impress them?
It's gratifying.
Just fucking do it.
I'm going to do it.
Donate anonymously. You know
I will.
What I'm saying?
I'll do that as well.
I donate anonymously all the time.
You're the one who like built that big hospital at UCLA, right?
Anonymously.
Yeah. Thanks, Sim.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Thanks for your contribution. I mean, you and I know this, but... Oh, God.
You're like, how do we get to that conversation? Okay, off of licking anus, by the way. That was how we got to that.
Yes,
it's fascinating,
true.
Right?
Would you, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself as sort of a blowjob giver?
1 to 10?
Yeah. your skill ability.
Based on what I've been told or based on what I think myself is?
We could do both. Let's do both.
Because I feel like those are two totally different rating cards. I feel like maybe I would put myself...
I'm going to say you're an
7?
Eight.
Ooh. We were close. We were really close.
But I bet you know what it really is. I think all blowjobs are probably a 10.
A 10, because as, if you succeed, then you succeed. Yeah. Like, who cares how you did it?
Yeah.
It's when you don't succeed that you're like 0, which can't say that I've never not succeeded.
Then I think I better put myself at like a 2.
No.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
I don't know. I think it's a, I think that it's, that's also a hard thing to gauge because I think it's different with everybody for whatever reasons.
Yeah, you're right. It's, it is psychological, isn't it?
Some people are harder to please. I think men, male and female are harder to please, whatever that is.
Well, and I think there's also a degree of self-consciousness. Like, mm-hmm. like it's like when all the attention is focused on you, like some people are more comfortable with that than others. And, I don't know. Sim, care to chime in?
I love him.
That was a great, great response.
Amy, how are you feeling right about now?
38 weeks pregnant?
She can't wait to go home with you tonight.
That's right.
Tell us if you brought something weird.
I did.
We haven't done this segment for a long time.
Yeah, this has been like 2.5 years. I'm so glad we're reintroducing this.
Yeah, oh, great, with mine. And mine, I was like, I don't know what's weird. What's considered weird? I mean, I might think it's weird. They might be like, that's totally normal.
Sim, can I tell you the text exchange that we had today?
Yeah, yeah.
So I texted, hi, it's Anna. So happy you were coming today. Would you bring something weird today from your house? And don't tell me. Can truly be anything. And then I go rehearse for a while. And then I get this message from you. In what way weird? And I wrote back, I leave it up to you to interpret.
Right. So I did walk around my house thinking, I mean, what's considered weird? What I did was I decided that it would be something that is probably not in anybody else's house. Do I think it's weird? I don't know. I will let you interpret it. And I brought two even.
Oh, great.
Because I think one's not that weird and the other one, like,
let's find out what they are.
Description.
Pull them out.
It.
Pull them out.
Look, it's in right here.
Oh, my God. I love it. It's in your army fucking pocket. You are a powerful woman.
Army fucking pocket. Fuck. Okay. Here's the one. This is the first thing.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. So, Anna, describe this.
It's a unidog.
It's a unicorgi.
A unicorgi.
What's it made out of? What's the material?
Okay,
it's like a wood?
It's a rock.
It's a rock.
We've got a small rock that's painted like a corgi. It has odd little feet.
Cardboard.
Cardboard, right. Okay.
Cardboard and a shell for a unicorn. And dear listeners, we'll get a picture of this. There's hearts on it. There's large ears.
It's beautiful.
Can you tell us the history of this? You'll bring something weird. I love it.
So I made it. My daughter, don't break it. It's only one of its kind.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Sorry about that.
Sim just dropped.
I caught it with
Sim
my left hand. By the way, I have great hand-eye coordination. Did you see that?
Unicorgi.
I'm proud. Did you see how I caught that? That was amazing.
You did amazing work.
Unicorgi. So my daughter for a week this summer, I'll try and make this short, but a week this summer, my daughter had this.
Oh, you made this as an adult?
Yeah. I just made it like 3 weeks ago.
Beautiful.
So I'm telling you, it's a little weird. It's weird.
I love it.
It gets even weirder. So she has something at our house called Camp Coco that I started a couple of years ago where we have 8 girls at our house and we do crafts every day. 2 crafts a day. They'd come over and we do it for 1 week in the summer. And this one of the crafts we did is we made rock families. Okay. So the kids could gather rocks around the house and then paint them anything they want and build houses and everything. The night before we did this craft, I know it's a little lopsided.
Oh, I thought Sim did that.
No, it's actually a little lopsided.
Okay.
You know how hard it is to make cardboard
Listen,
feet?
I'm impressed.
The fact that it's actually standing just makes me happy or not. I don't know. So the night before we did this craft, my daughter was having a hard time going to sleep. And she said, tell me a story that would make me happy. And I said, okay. So I made up this story about our puppy. We have a 5-month-old corgi mix mutt puppy who has a long tail. And normally corgis have short tails because they've been docked, or some of them are actually born that way, I believe. I might be that. I don't know. Anyways, ours was a rescue and it has a long tail. And I said, and so I made up this whole story that our corgi is a unicorgi. She's unique because she has a long tail and normal corgis don't. So we came up with this whole story about a unicorgi. So the next day we were doing the crafts and I was like, I'm going to make a unicorgi.
I love that.
And that's what that is.
It's really good.
Well, you should turn this into like a whole book series for kids. I mean, you can license that. I'm seeing big things with this unicorgi. This is a cartoon waiting to happen on Netflix.
Sure. I'll just bring that into the room at all my pitches. So it started with this, right? It started with this. But here, this is along the same lines. But I think that's because that's pretty specific and weird.
I love it.
But see, because then I also made a unikitty. But this one's actually really cute.
They're both really cute. This is a rock probably found on a beach because it looks like it's a little sand worn. It's in the shape of a vague heart. And it's painted like a little kitty cat without much detail. I don't know if a lot of thought was put into the face, but no, I was exhausted after the
unicorn.
But there's this gorgeous rainbow colored horn that's attached.
I do love the horn. I like the rainbow.
I mean, it's the shells too, because we collect shells. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's the shell is amazing. Do you know what kind of animal lives in this shell?
I don't. A snail?
Well,
clearly. Or did?
I mean,
I don't know.
You're the one with brunette hair. I thought you'd be more specific.
A mollusk? I don't know. It's a mollusk. I don't know. But this, beautiful. I think it's if you beautiful. Saw this at someone's house, you'd be like, oh, they probably bought that somewhere. This one, you're a little like, I'm not quite so sure about that
thing. Whoa. You think that one of these, somebody was like, oh, they probably bought that somewhere? I love you, Constance, but I can't. Listen, plan B is not craft making. I mean,
I don't think somebody would pay money for that. I think it would be in the free bin.
Yeah,
you know, they have
yeah.
free bins
oh, yeah,
in
yeah,
stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we sell both and then give the proceeds to charity and see which one sells more?
Listen,
no, we can't.
Well, not the unicorgi.
You want to keep the unicorgi?
Yeah, we have
how much do you want
to?
Let's start the bidding at $500. And this will all go to charity. Our listeners will, we'll get $500 for it.
No, we won't.
If Constance signs it, yes.
You really? You were saying that?
I bet we can get $500 for the kitty.
I don't think so.
Is this what you used to do? Is sell the weird things that were in the people's homes?
No,
I'm
because I would have brought a whole other situation.
We don't even have a fucking charity. What fucking charity would we do anyway?
Whatever Constance wants to donate to.
Oh my god, it's the pressure. There's so much pressure now. I feel like I really can't believe I didn't bring the right weird thing.
Altruistic vein that's suddenly like throbbing through your body.
You were talking about blowjobs for the last 10 minutes.
He felt like he had to give back in other ways. Okay.
That one doesn't stand up. You gotta lay that one down.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so we're calling Holly. Holly is in Portland and she's 30.
Hello?
Hi, Holly.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, hey, I'm here with Sim Sarna and Constance Zimmer.
Hey, hi, Holly, how are you?
Hi, Constance.
Hi.
Thank you for doing this. You're so sweet to listen to obnoxious advice from idiots. I mean, not you, Constance.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
I'm pretty sure I'm an idiot, too. That's okay. I like being a part of that group.
So, Holly, tell us what's going on. So you recently moved from Denver and you were dating this guy. Tell us the story.
Okay, so 2 months ago, I moved from Denver to Portland, and when I was in Denver, I was dating a guy for almost 2 years, and when I found out I was leaving, we decided together not to do long distance, because it sucks, and decided to just stay in touch as friends. So I moved to Portland, and we have since talked every day, but our communications definitely went from like, okay, we're just friends keeping up with one another, to back to the way that we talked when we were dating. And then he asked if he can come visit me over Halloween weekend. So like 2 months from now, and wants to come stay with me. But the problem is that like since I came to Portland, I started Tinder dating. And recently I've started dating this one guy and we're spending like multiple days a week together, but it's all like fun and casual and light. So my question is, do I need to be like upfront with my ex about my dating because we haven't talked about it, or can I just like let this all ride itself out?
Well, how, I don't know, maybe on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you miss your ex?
How much what, sorry?
Do you miss your ex?
I mean, it's hard because we didn't break up because we were unhappy together. You know, we broke up because I moved. And I kind of was looking forward to like just fun dating again, you know, it's fun to date. So, I mean, but whenever we were together, he's my best friend, you know, he's such a part of my life. He's my friend's best friend, you know.
You've said friend like 4 times, which I feel like.
Well, here's the thing. I think you're in a new town and I assume that you moved there maybe for work or maybe for something else, but he's missing you. And maybe, I don't know, who knows if there's like some regret on his end, like, or whatever. Maybe he's a little bit more of an introvert and he's not dating as much. And so he reaches out to you texting funny, familiar things that feels good. And I think that we can all understand that element. So he doesn't know that you're dating at all.
No, I mean, we just haven't talked about it. Like maybe he's just assuming, but he's telling me, like I've asked him if he has gone on any dates and he's like, no, the woman I love is not in the state.
Yeah, yeah. This is going to crush him. He's in love with you.
So, and would he stay with you?
I'm sure he would move to Portland for her. I'm sure
he,
yeah.
I agree. But then why didn't he move with her?
Yeah, why didn't he move? I mean, that's a great question, Constance.
Is he a pothead?
He was telling my friends that he didn't move because I didn't ask him to. And
what?
Now he's talking about moving. Yes. And now he's talking about moving to Seattle in February, which he says isn't because of me, but I feel like it's totally.
But Seattle's not Portland.
Yeah. And why?
Yeah, 3 hours away though.
Why would he move to Seattle?
Cause it's closer
well, he used
than
to live in Tacoma. So.
But it wouldn't be for like, oh, I've got this great job opportunity.
It's still long. It's still a drive.
You know what I'm saying, though. It's like, because that feels like, if it's not for a specific reason, it feels like a little bit of a manipulative play.
Did you get closer to her? Like, I'm moving a little bit. So
yeah, he doesn't want to let her go. And
but also, why was he expecting you to ask him?
Good question.
To move with you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why should that be your responsibility?
Yeah, I guess he just feels like I turned him down because I didn't say like, hey, I want you. I want you to come with me. I'm moving.
Did you want him to come with you? I mean, you were with him for 1.5 years. That's a long relationship. But it sounds like you weren't into him enough to be with him, right? Because if you really were into him, you would have figured out a way to be with him, right?
I'm kind of like a commitment phobe, though, like in general.
But 1.5 years is not a commitment phobe. I'm going to tell you. I was with a commitment phobe and his longest relationship was 6 months. And he was in his 30s when I met him and he had never been with somebody longer than 6 months. And he was an admitted commitment phobe. So don't be hard on yourself.
That's because your pussy is tight.
Wow.
Right, Constance?
This is not about me. I'm sorry, Holly. I apologize for her interacting that into your advice segment.
Like we talk a lot on the podcast that oftentimes relationships have an imbalance and it sounds to me like your ex loves you more or is in a place of commitment or something where he wants you more than you want him. And it goes back to like, you know, the whole idea of like, you know, protecting your heart and being, you know, and being selfish. And I think that it's hard. And I feel like I hate to gender stereotype, but I do think that women tend to absorb more guilt with breakups, especially if it was something that they were proactive in. And I don't want you to sort of have to go through that. I think it'd be appropriate for you to tell him, you know, you have been seeing other people
over text or on the phone.
I th- I think over text. Is that cruel and cold of me?
I'm not a fan of the texting.
I know, but here's the thing.
Information. You know why? Because where does the comma go? Where does the period go? True. Where does the exclamation mark? Yes. And that always means something different to somebody else.
Right. But I don't know if I don't want Holly to feel manipulated, like winding up at like a, you know, a 3-hour conversation with like a wasted dude. No offense, Holly, to your ex, at like 1 a.m. and he's like,
why can't she do it at 3 p.m?
Why does it have to be 1 a.m. when he's wasted?
He won't be able to call her back until he's wasted after the bar with the dudes. You guys, listen, I know I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, but sometimes I sort of do.
So he's going to wait to call.
Yeah. No,
I feel a little bit like, Holly, you probably know the answer already, but you like this guy so much as a like a best friend now that you're just afraid to hurt him in general because he is a best friend.
And that's the guilt thing.
Right. I don't know what's easier because you're not saying that you don't want to be with him because you met somebody else.
The sooner this guy finds out that you're dating someone else and then you're happy, the easier it's going to be for him to finally let go and start to let go, because otherwise he'll always think that he has a chance. He's going to always try and figure out a way to visit, or he's going to say, hey, I'm going to be in Portland for some business meeting. Let's grab, you don't want to get into those weird,
he's
awkward
not going
situations
there for a business meeting.
Listen, I don't, you're right. He's not going to. But you know what I'm trying to say? The Band-Aid needs to be pulled off sooner than later, or otherwise it's going to get more and more awkward. She needs to be clear with him and do it in a way that's not going to completely crush him. You know, he's your friend still.
Yeah, completely. And the thing is that because you're in a new city too, it's like there is that familiarity that's of comfort. And I'm sure that you have like awesome new friends and you're dating and it's fucking rad and you're living your life exactly how you should. But then there is that familiarity idea that it's like, oh yeah, this is a hometown. This is the guy that knows some inside jokes and, or whatever. And you communicate through that familiarity that feels good sometimes, but I would use caution. I would tell him you're dating other people. But before that, I wouldn't jump to respond to his texts. Give him some subtle signals that you're distancing yourself.
Then should I even like let him come out to visit though? Because he's like waiting on me to tell him like to buy a plane ticket or not.
No.
And she needs to tell him soon. No, he can't fly over to see you. It's going to get really weird.
Unless he knows when he's coming that it's because you guys are friends and not because he's coming to try and win.
But why would you do that to him?
And why does he like Halloween?
I agree.
We haven't explored the Halloween issue.
About why it's Halloween?
Yeah, well, like, why does he want to come during Halloween?
I don't know. It was just so weird. Like, a Halloween, like, holiday weekend, he wants to come stay with me. He didn't explicitly say why he chose that week, but I have no idea.
Is it about, like, maybe dressing up and getting wasted at a party?
I don't know. There's something, like, I think, does he have a job that he likes?
Yeah, I mean, he has a job that he likes, but he was like talking about moving to Seattle to start a new business and stuff like that, like using that, I don't know.
Holly, is he successful?
I mean, kind of. Currently, he's like just head chef at a restaurant versus he's talking about opening up his own restaurant and like working on that in the next year, but he like wants to move to Seattle before he does that.
I think, Holly, I think you have a great thing going, and I don't want you to live in guilt, and I don't want you to be, you know, feel obliged to be friends with him because of your history or because you feel like he needs you more than you need him.
It makes me think, though, too, that maybe that's how you start the conversation about the visit, is you say, listen, I feel bad. I've been keeping you on hold about the flights. And I think it's because, you know, honestly, I've been kind of seeing this other guy and I don't want to lie to you and you're my friend and I care about you. So maybe coming to visit is not the right time.
That's perfect. Perfect. That's all she needs to write.
Yes.
And that's it.
But the thing is, Holly, to me, I don't know why my gut says this, but I feel like he's kind of a manipulative person without meaning to be. Most manipulative people have no idea that they are. hence myself. That's why I sort of advise the text over phone call, because I don't know what kind of person he is, but I don't want him to be like, to start to tug a lot on your emotional strings, you know, and to be like, I miss you so, like, there's no one like you.
What about and email? Isn't email better than text?
I'm cool with that. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like that's a little less personal.
I mean, do text.
Text is.
Yeah, I think so.
But here's what's going to happen. After the initial text.
FaceTime?
Well, that might happen after the initial text. Maybe he'll say, let's FaceTime, let's talk on the phone, because then he's going to try and talk you out of this.
It will be revealing how he reacts to, I would suggest a text. Say like, listen, I miss you in Colorado, but I do want you to know that I'm seeing other people, and there's somebody that I'm really interested in. So I'm not sure if Halloween is the best time. It may be, and just leave it at that. Holly, his response will be very, very revealing. If he's like, I completely get it. I'm loving that you're starting this, you know, your new life, a new adventure in a city. And I really hope that we can be in touch at some point. And I always love our memories together. That's a rational, emotional, but a rational answer. If it's something different than that, then it's then that's your answer, you know, that it's like, oh, okay. So if he's like, well, you know, whatever, does something weird, like, I wish you told me before, because I already booked my plane ticket, which he didn't. I mean, this is just his. I'm opening a restaurant in Portland, just outside of Portland. I'm starting my own brewery company. And so maybe we'll bump into each other every now and again. Then you're like, okay, what a fucking dick. And that will never happen. Like, you're not fucking opening your restaurant. Brewery. Fuck you. I'm sorry, Holly. I'm getting very defensive on your behalf.
Holly, is this advice okay with you?
It makes total sense, and I think I will definitely do that soon.
Well, and listen, have a good time. Like, I've said this before, if there's one thing I could tell my son is to not get married before 30. I wouldn't rush into I would. I always rush into everything. I'm like, here we go, hip hip hooray. I can get all this shit figured out, no problem. But no, I would have a good time making new friends in your new city. And to me, there were just a couple of subtle red flags that you mentioned in your story with this. And I just want you to protect, you know, yourself and not feel guilty.
And she doesn't want to be with him. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Unless Holly, you do. No.
No, I don't think she does. Holly, thank you so much. She said she didn't. Holly.
Thank you,
Holly,
guys.
Thank you.
I love you. Thank you so much. I
hope it works out.
Please contact us.
Yeah, let us know how it
This is such
I'll
a relatable thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And congratulations on Portland. I love Portland.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
What? That guy talking about moving to Seattle? Poor guy.
If you still engage with the person, you're making them believe that you're on the same path as them. Right. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I'm engaging with this. Whereas if you kind of nip it in the bud before it even happens, then it can't get that far.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And I think that, like, the inclination is to be kind, especially if you're the one that left.
Agreed. Well, and by the way, yes, in general, we should always be kind. But
yeah, but only to, you know.
People that deserve it? No.
Just to a certain extent.
Just kidding, guys.
All right, we're calling Amy now. Amy is in Northern California, and she's 29.
Hello.
Amy, hi, it's Sim.
Hi, Sim.
How are you?
Hi, Amy.
Good, how are you?
It's Anna.
Oh, shit, sorry. Hi,
hi,
Amy.
Anna.
I'm here with Constance Zimmer.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Amy, you're like, so sweet to do this. Thank you so much.
So, Amy, it looks like you're hiding something from your parents. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, so for a few years now, I'm almost 30, but for a few years now, I've been hiding some tattoos, or the fact that I have tattoos, from my parents, because they really, really hate tattoos. And mine are on my thighs, and one is just like pretty flowers. Then the other one is like a pineapple and Saturn and a geometric crystal. And those sort of represent like a kind of a stony metaphor for how to live my life.
Yeah. I love it.
That's because I smoke weed, which they also don't know. So then the other day, my friend asked me, like, well, sounds like your parents don't know you at all. And that got me thinking, like, yeah, they don't really know me. I'm hiding a lot about myself from them. So my question is, should I show them my tattoos? Should I tell them I smoke weed? If so, how do I go about doing that? I don't want to do like some dramatic reveal or something, you know, that feels silly.
I love the idea though of like a Thanksgiving reveal, like
show up in a one piece, just wearing a one piece because they're on her thighs, right?
Amy, I can
yeah,
so
they're on her thighs.
I can so relate to this. I don't have any tattoos, yeah, but my parents were the same way. They were very judgmental about people who. The crazy thing is that they're incredibly liberal and passionately liberal. And like, sometimes I'm like, please stop watching MSNBC because you guys are really angry and I can't handle it right now. I'm tired. But they, you know, they can be judgmental about things. When I did the first scary movie, I was just so terrified about how offended my mom would be. And she was. And then when I did this movie called Smiley Face, I told her before I did it, I said, you know, I'm doing this movie about a girl who's a pothead. And she looked at me and her face got like ashen. And she said, oh, Ani, you are a role model. And in my head, I was like, well, no, I'm not, mom, at all. Have you seen any of the work I've done? But then now it's like kind of, it's like her favorite movie that I've done. I remember that, like the tattoo talk infiltrating when I was a teenager. Same thing with piercings and doing anything raunchy. When was the last time they really talked about it?
They're still on it. They stick to, like my mom says, if you have enough money to get tattoos, you must have enough money for, you know, everything else you want in the world. Like it's the stupidest thing in her mind that you can spend money on. And she kind of still brings that up even now, even though I'm almost 20. I mean, 30.
Are you guys relatively close? And do you have siblings?
We are close. I would say I have a really good relationship with her. I'm the baby and I think I'll always be her baby.
Did one of your sisters potentially rat on you a little bit? Like, is that why it keeps coming up?
I don't think so. I don't think they know.
Okay.
Either.
How far do you guys all live away from each other?
I have one sister in Texas and one in Sacramento.
And
so
where are
pretty
your,
far.
And where are your parents in relation to you?
They're about 40 minutes away from me.
So you probably see them a little more than your sisters do.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh, here's the thing. It's a little bit of a ripping the Band-Aid off a little bit. I don't think you need to really talk about like the weed and all. One time I did ask my parents if they had ever like smoked weed because that was a big thing in my life as well. And when I got old enough, they like just looked at each other and started kind of giggling. And I said, I'm going to make you guys pot cookies. And they were like, no. But I could tell like in their voices, they meant yes. Hi, mom and dad. The smoking weed thing, I don't think you really need to bring up too much. But the next time your parents, because this is clearly nagging on you, the next time your mom says something disparaging about people with tattoos, I think you can say, like, I have some tattoos and I really love them and they mean a lot to me. And, you know, I've been scared to tell you, but I hope that you don't judge me too much or, you know, and that we can sort of talk through it. I know that you always love me because you've always guaranteed me unconditional love. Give her that little guilt trip. And I bet that she might be upset for a minute, for a second. But the thing that I've learned is that parents, like, they're just going to love you no matter what, like, because they have to. You're independent now. And they have to. If they want to keep you in their lives, then they have to accept you becoming an adult.
If you told them that, what do you think they'll say?
I don't know. I hope they take it as an opportunity to
get to know you better.
Not be so judgmental about people who have tattoos. But I do think they'll be, at least initially, really, really disappointed. And that's sort of why I've hid them for so long, is, you know, I can't help but not want to disappoint them. So what's the harm in not showing them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And listen, and I don't think you necessarily need to, but clearly it's bothering you and keeping things from them, and you want a closer relationship with them, clearly. And so I think that, I don't know if there's an opportunity where you can say, hey, I want you guys to be really close to me, and I want to feel really close to you. And so there's things that I want to tell you, and I'm scared because I'm scared that you're going to judge me. But I just want you to know that I want to tell you because my motivation here is to feel close to you and for you guys to know me. And so, because I love you so much and I admire you, it's all about timing though. Fuck, it's all about timing.
And also I think that your parents in like after you leave and shut the door and walk away from the house, in hindsight, they will know, without maybe even admitting to you, that they would rather have an open, communicative relationship with you than you feel the need that you have to hide things from them in order for them to respect your choices or whatever. So if you do it as I don't want to keep this from you any longer because it hurts me and it hurts our relationship. Just, I feel like as a parent myself, thinking of conversations I have with my daughter, mind you, she's only 10, but I imagine this in the future, that I'm trying to keep a very open line of communication with my kid so that she feels that anything she wants to talk about, it doesn't matter if I don't agree with it or it upsets me for some personal reason or other. It's different when it's your own kid. So you getting tattoos, they would look at it differently than other people that they don't know getting tattoos.
Yes, that's true. And because there's nothing, it's painful when your kid withdraws from you. And I've used this line before. Mom, you raised me to be a really strong, independent person. And that's always like, that's a good way to start a conversation.
So it's your fault that I am standing up to you right now.
Like, so mom, like, you are, and you should be. And so, and they will, it'll take them a minute. And then after you do tell them, if they react in a dramatic way, I would recommend just keep persisting. Text your mom that you love her, like don't withdraw, you know, like be bigger than them, because, you know, like starting from like age 27, I'm still going through it, where the parents are sliding into childhood and we're sliding into adulthood. And so you will be forced to be the bigger person, which isn't easy, but I highly recommend it because it will disarm them. I don't know. I'm talking about.
That's right. But I do agree with you, you know, leave out the weed bit.
Yeah, we can save that for another day.
Yeah. One thing at a time.
And you know what? Also, you don't necessarily need to reveal these things. Maybe start with baby steps on just having a closer relationship that's not combative with your parents. And that starts with vulnerability. Like, oh, I liked this guy and maybe, you know, he didn't like me back, or I was really hoping, because it sounds like, Amy, you had a similar childhood that I did, and where I felt my parents were so strict that I didn't feel like I could tell them much. And so it was a long process. And I think that I bet your mom, if you're close and you guys see each other frequently, would be so grateful for, like, you admitting, or, you know, just telling her what's affecting you emotionally. So, you know, disregard maybe tattoos and weed for right now and maybe focus on a couple more intimate things. And then you guys will feel closer. And then eventually you say, yeah, oh, by the way, mom, yeah, I've got fucking sleeves, man. And I'm fucking stoned. And I love you. Take a hit of this.
Amy, you okay with this advice?
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Amy, I can completely relate to what you're saying. I think a lot of people can. I know a lot of people can. And there's an old school way of thinking about people. And I felt that judgment. But once I had the confidence to be more honest with my parents, once I started paying for their airplane tickets, they were more comfortable with who I was as a person.
Amy, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Amy, thank you. I love
Let
you.
Let us know how it goes.
Thank you.
Oh, Amy, I love you. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
Love you too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Constance Zimmer, thanks so much for being here. All right.
The listeners have no idea why we're laughing, but yes.
That's all right. We like to keep some things mysterious.
Exactly. Thank you, Constance.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, House of Cards is coming out.
Are you
in that, right?
I am in that.
Okay, well, you looked at me. I was like, the wrong thing?
No, I didn't think you were going to plug anything because you don't need to.
Oh, I'm just here
to hang out with Ben.
That's so sweet of you. All right, we're not going to plug
Don't tell anyone I'm on House of Cards.
All right, good night, everyone.